This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay.
So is it strange to be the guy in charge on a phone call to horrible bosses?
That's a great question. I don't really see myself as being the guy in charge, because I know I got masters to serve. You know. But I'm sort of, I guess I'm one of the people in charge, and you know, when somebody asked me in another interview, what do you think about horrible bosses? I said, ask my assistant over here, you know, who I'm definitely putting through his paces this morning, just so you know. So I guess there's a little irony there. I guess I sort of, and I may be deluded, but I don't see myself as a horrible boss, but I'm sure I have my moments. But we'll have to get my assistant in. He'll give you some good poop, I think. But that's a good question.
You obviously have a great cast in this thing. Was this one of these projects that was how did the dominoes start to fall to get the cast together?
Oh, it's actually for me a long story. For the director and the cast, it's a kind of a relatively short story. But I started out over 5 years ago, bringing this to New Line and saying this is a great script and a great idea and let's make this movie. And they were pretty eager right from the start. But we had a bunch of stops and starts, and for various reasons, one of the reasons being that it was very hard to do, at the time it was hard to do kind of great up-and-coming cast at New Line at the time, because they were so internationally oriented. But for various reasons, we didn't get the movie made, and then we had a rewrite done, which got people even more excited about it, and New Line got very serious about, well, we need to make this movie. And so it's been a process over a number of years. Really, the last 6 to 9 months, New Line has been incredibly determined to get it going. And because we had, I think, a really excellent comedy script, the talent came to it and was attracted to it. And we got lucky with some great, I think everybody in the cast is great.
Not to do a follow-up.
So I mean, you want the order of when people kind of started coming in on it?
I mean, like maybe the first 2-3 people, but I have a follow-up on the script question.
Jason Bateman was pretty much in, and we were talking to Jason Bateman and Colin Farrell, and Jason Sudeikis was right in there, and Charlie Day was right in there, and it was after getting those folks that we got Jennifer Aniston and the last piece of the puzzle. And we also got Jamie Foxx pretty kind of early on, sort of six months ago. He was very, very interested. The last piece of the cast was Kevin Spacey, which we played with a lot of different ideas, and he just seemed like the best possible pick for a really, really psychologically sadistic boss. You know.
Generally speaking, when you have this many characters, you have to make sure everyone has enough time to shine in the script or in the movie. Is one of the bosses, you know, are they all about the equal screen time, or do some characters have a lot more time?
I think that Kevin Spacey's character has more time. I don't know about a lot more time when we actually edit the movie. I don't know that it's going to be a lot more time than Jennifer and Colin. They all have a healthy amount of screen time. I give myself and New Line some credit, but I think the screenwriters have been incredibly smart about how they've divvied up the attention paid to each character. The three guys, our three regular guys, are, I would tell you, completely egalitarian in terms of their screen time.
Did Spacey have any reluctance to play a sadistic boss, since he's played one of the most memorable sadistic bosses? Maybe more for like the film geek crowd, but...
I don't think he had any reluctance. No. Not that I heard about. I think he was eager to put maybe a slightly different twist on. Yes, he played an amazing, horrible boss, and you're talking
Swimming
about Swimming with
Sharks,
which is not a movie that was really widely seen.
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm saying.
If that movie had been a big hit, I'm guessing he might have had more trepidation. But that movie was really, I think, the two coasts, and really this coast
Done by
more than that coast.
Geeks like us.
geeks like you guys and me. If that movie had done $100 million domestic box office, I think he probably would have had some hesitation, but he, you know, because it was so, I guess online, people are probably seeing it now. I mean, there's probably a couple of geeks around the country watching that movie right this second. Right?
But
Can you talk about the tone of this? Because it's easy to imagine it being a very zany comedy or a very grounded, realistic, dark comedy.
I don't see it as a dark comedy, and I don't see it. I do see it as really anchored in reality, but we definitely have some. We definitely take some license. So I think we anchor it in relatively real situations, and then I think we push the envelope a bit. I don't believe we ever get cartoony. We certainly are trying to avoid getting cartoony, but we're realistic with a flair. How's that? With a comedic flair. I do think The Hangover is an example of something that accomplished that very well. And even from from the first script we had, literally the spec script that we first read over 5 years ago, it really, really aimed to have a real anchor in reality and have realistic situations and then push the envelope a bit.
Is this PG-13 or R?
This will definitely be an R. This will be an R.
A character named Motherfucker.
I mean, there is a character named Motherfucker Jones, and he earns that name. He earns that name.
Well, once you know you're going to be an R, what kind of liberties does that mean for the cast, for improv, for what you're doing on set? I mean, are you guys pushing the R boundary, or are you sort of teetering the line?
Oh, I think we're pushing the R boundary. I mean, I'd like to think that we never get really cheap and cheesy with it. I'd like to kind of avoid that, and I think everybody sort of has in mind that they don't want to. But we definitely push it, and we have. I mean, we're blessed with three guys that are amazing. I mean, I will tell you, Colin. When you see Colin Farrell's performance, I mean, you're gonna. I think you'll be amazed. I think you're gonna be amazed.
He has a little bit of a comb over.
He does. I've been trying to not imitate it. He has a great comb over. I think he has a world class comb over that will be remembered for years to come. But he created a character. There was a great character on the page, but he took it in a really wonderful direction. He's a guy that nobody would doubt. It sort of has kind of a pretty strong sense of his masculinity. He plays this character as somebody that doubts his manhood all the way along the line, but compensates all the time for it. So I think it's a masterful comedic performance. I hope you guys agree. I mean, I think it's great. Everybody else is great in the cast as well, but I mean, Colin had his 6 days, and he will have a bunch of screen time. He had his 6 or 7 days on the movie. He did a spectacular job. As did Jamie Foxx as Motherfucker Jones.
Another movie.
By the way, you say that motherfucker, not motherfucker. That's one of the things he explains.
Another movie this brings to mind is Office Space, with the idea of revenge on bosses and now sitting at TGI Fridays. Tell me, are there any comparisons there, or is it kind of in there?
Well, I think there are comparisons. It's a workplace comedy. I mean, again, I think we push the envelope quite a bit more than Office Space did. And I do think that because we have this sort of triumvirate of three regular kind of schlemiels, that, I mean, there are three regular guys and three kind of outrageous bosses. So you have three regular guys really sort of in really outrageous circumstances and going on this outrageous adventure together. I would call Office Space a great movie. I think we're hopefully going to be a great movie, and I think we're going to be, in certain ways, a more commercial movie because we have the three guys and these three outrageous bosses. We sort of, like, tripled everything up.
Is this Stray a little darker, it seems, in terms of, like, black comedy area?
I don't see it as a black comedy. I don't think it... I mean, listen, one of the premise of the movie is the three guys decide that their bosses are so amazingly horrible that they have to kill their bosses, partly to help themselves, but also to help the world, because these, if you had the chance to kill Hitler at the right moment, would you kill Hitler? I mean, so there's a darkness to this sort of the premise, but I don't see the movie as very dark. I see it as a mainstream comedy. with three regular guys who have decided to do a kind of an outrageous thing.
So we will hate their bosses so much that their murders seem justified.
Oh, I think you're going to hate their bosses. I think you're going to hate their each of their bosses in very different ways, but I think you're going to despise each one of them. Yep.
What's the relationship between the three guys? Do they meet in the film, or are they friends?
No, they've been friends for a long time. They hang out together. They hang out at this TJ Fry. I mean, we obviously it's not called that in the movie, but
it's called Rivetti's.
He literally worked here as a teenager. He was a waiter here as a teenager. And then we called it Rivetti's. There you go. Do you have more than those? Claire? Just gonna. Okay. Party favors.
Do you have any horrible bosses in your past? Maybe you to do something like that?
I've had some horrible bosses. I think one of the strengths of the movie, just from a commercial appeal perspective, is that I think everybody's had at least moments with bosses that were pretty horrible. You might not go so far to say that boss was a really horrible boss, but I think a lot of us have had horrible bosses, and we've all had bosses who acted horribly at moments, for sure. So I think it's very easy for everybody in the world to identify with our three regular guys. So it's one of the reasons I love the script as much as I did, aside from the fact that it was just outrageously funny.
Get at all apprehensive having so many known cast members in the movie? Do you get worried that it'll get a little overwhelming for the audience?
The truth is, I think a couple of years ago I would have been more concerned about sort of the ensemble of it. But then when New Line has made a couple of movies recently, She's Not That Into You and Valentine's Day, that were full on more ensembles than this is. They all had sort of various stories running through it. This has one story. It's the three guys on an outrageous adventure together. So I might have been concerned a couple of years ago, but I'm not at all. I'm not at all.
I'm curious. You ended up filming here in L.A. There's a lot of tax incentives in Detroit now, in New Mexico, Louisiana. Could you talk about why Los Angeles, and did it help with the cast by filming in Los Angeles?
It definitely helps with the cast. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, we established that we were filming in L.A. before we cast, certainly Jennifer and Kevin, and I think the cast knew that we were shooting in L.A., or certainly trying to. So I think that helped us get the cast. It's completely hypothetical whether we would have gotten everybody if we'd been shooting in Detroit. I don't know if we would or wouldn't. It's really helpful to shoot in Los Angeles. It's just a great experience shooting in Los Angeles. And we do, they're limited, but there are tax incentives that we're taking advantage of in Los Angeles. We're getting a tax rebate.
Was there ever a talk, though, of going to one of these other states?
Oh, yeah, we talked about Canada. We looked at a couple of different scenarios. A few different scenarios.
Is the story take place in LA?
No, it's a sort of any small city anywhere. So it could be in the Midwest, it could be in Northern California, it could be Southern California. We're not specifying where it is. So it's sort of that as our three guys are sort of everymen, there's a sort of every city. We want to keep it open for anybody to identify with. So.
How's your budget for this film to work on?
Excuse me?
Did you get a good budget for this film to work on?
I think we have a very kind of a solid, reasonable budget. In other words, I think it's by Hollywood studio standards is very modest. But we have everything we need. You know, we have some crane shots. We have a great cast. You know, craft services is really good. The
catering
is quite excellent. You know, kudos all the way around. I mean, but that's we have a great line producer, Diana Picorni, who's doing a great job, and her team is doing a spectacular job. I have to single out Shepard Frankel, who did the production design, who's doing an amazing job. He's not being given the resources that huge Hollywood movies. This isn't Transformers. But he's doing an amazing job.
Some people could say if this was a Transformers budget, you might be overspending.
I think we would be, in fact. I would tell you that if we were... I don't know what we're not overspending, and I'm trying to think of comedies that have cost a lot of money. I can't bring one up right off the top of my head, but we're not overspending on the movie. I mean, I feel very happy about what we're doing on the movie budget wise. But I don't feel like we have to sacrifice the quality of the movie because of the budget.
Can you talk about finding your director for this?
We met with a number of directors. And Seth was very, very articulate and smart in the room. When you meet with him, you'll see he's a very smart guy. And he had done one movie for New Line called Four Christmases. And they liked the experience they had with him. They thought he was a good guy and smart. And it was real. I was convinced because he had done a wonderful documentary called King of Kong. Mm-hmm. And he was also very smart about how he wanted to do the comedy. And he brought in ideas for cast members. He actually, something I had not seen before, he brought in kind of a mix and match type of a thing where he had eight characters for each one of our roles, and he could sort of, well, how about mix and match with these? And so he did a great presentation, and I think he really solidly understood the script, so... And there were other very good directors that were interested in the movie, but I'm very happy that we chose Seth.
Are you the big question, of course, as fans of King of Kong? Will there be in any of the restaurants or locations we happen to walk by a Donkey Kong machine?
It's a great question, and that's where you're going to have to see the movie. You can ask Seth that.
Yeah. I think it'd be a great meta joke.
I think that's right. That we may have to pull that off.
There's a lot of... They've been talking about that for a long time, but I don't know.
But we could also... We could get together and talk about other meta jokes. We could sort of fit them in. And the two of us could laugh really hard.
I mean, I think that would be a great little thing, though. But my last question for you is, obviously you must have other things bubbling up to the surface.
Yep.
As far as other projects, could you sort of talk about what else is happening for you?
Well, I started a company with a couple of partners called Route One Films.
Are you from New England?
I'm from New York City originally.
Okay.
But Route One is actually the state name for Highway One out here. I think there's a Route One in many states, and I think it's also the term that a British soccer player uses for the fastest way to a goal. If you kick the ball down that's Route One, right down the middle. So kind of the idea is... We're trying to keep the bullshit to a minimum. We want to go from point A to point B. I have two great partners, and we have a great lead investor, and we have about 12 projects in development, and we'll be bringing those soon. We'll be bringing a few of them to New Line soon. I'm not sure if you knew, but Brett Ratner's producing this movie with me. I was Brett's partner for about 8 years, and I just got lucky and found a great guy that was willing to put up some... a chunk of money to start a film company, so I brought a couple of partners in, and we're working hard on that. But for these couple of months while we're shooting, I'm not working that hard on that.
I understand.
So, but the movies that we're trying to—by the way, this would be a perfect movie for us. I wish we're trying to make movies that are highly marketable and that audiences love. So. Anything from Taken to Horrible Bosses to The Hangover to The Blind Side. We're trying to do thrillers, comedies, romantic comedies, contain action movies. But hopefully crowd pleasers that you guys will love. And that you can, a year from now, we'll be talking about a Route One film. But for now, I'm basically 100% on Horrible Bosses, and I have to say, I love it, and I think you guys are going to love it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, we'll see you inside.
Okay, all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming, seriously.